In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we enter into this Lenten season aware of our shortcomings and of God's great gift of mercy.
Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness, in the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me. Wash me from my guilt and cleanse me of my sin.
Grant, Almighty God, through our observance of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches of Christ, and by our worthy conduct pursue them.
Enter the journey, come to the song. By God you are chosen, by name you are called, to follow the vision, carry the cross. Enter the journey of faith as the family of God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
In the span of less than a month, we will have celebrated Valentine's Day, President's Day, Mardi Gras, Ash Wednesday, St. Patrick's Day, the time change, and the vernal equinox. On a college student's calendar, that would read, party, 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 Ash Wednesday, what's an equinox, and party. It is like one of those exam questions, which of these does not belong? And every good Catholic during Lent knows the answer is party. Today's liturgy is structured around two of the great stories in all of Scripture: the temptation of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and its parallel in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. One represents humanity's downfall. The other brought us salvation. Jesus's temptation came at the end of his public life, Adam's at the beginning of the world. We have a part in these stories, and they begin right here and now. We all begin life with a plan. You may start out wanting to be an accomplished singer or athlete or scholar or musician or be successful in business. You may have some noble goal like improving your community or working for world peace. You may form personal goals, like financial security or material comfort, or just getting ahead of the rat race. No matter what the goal, it always begins with high hopes and the expectation that we will succeed. But there comes a moment in everyone's life when we realize things aren't going according to plan. We aren't going to become the next Bill Gates or Mother Teresa. We aren't going to win the giant downhill in the next Winter Olympics. The Lottery Commission isn't going to be waiting at our door. And it's at that moment that a kind of maturity comes to us. It's when we discover what kind of people we are. There is something in human nature that believes that if we want something really badly enough, it'll happen. Or at least it should happen. But that something is deceptive. The truth is that anything worth pursuing comes at a cost. Human progress is always involved and it's always complex. It's simply the way it is. And the scriptures tell us it is the way it has always been. To understand these stories of the temptation of Adam and of Jesus, you need to see that what was being offered to each of them was the easy way out. The serpent said to Adam and Eve, in effect, you can leave behind what you are now. You can be like gods. You won't have to depend on God or anyone else. You can choose whatever you want to do for yourself. Very reasonable, very attractive, very easy. And when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what was he tempted to do? To take the easy way. Hunger is a terrible thing. Just turn those stones into bread. Do you need followers? Well, throw yourself off the top of the temple, and when you land unharmed, the crowds won't be able to stay away. You want to guarantee your success? I will give you the world. They sounded good. It would have been easy to say yes. To be a savior without personal investment or personal commitment or personal sacrifice. Dostoevsky wrote that the temptations of Jesus parallel every human struggle. They're about our desire to be spoiled and pampered, or our desire to escape our human condition, the desire to get our own way. And so the most obvious lesson of the gospel is to see how Jesus handled these temptations. And at the end of them, the score was Jesus 3, the devil nothing. It was as if Jesus was saying to us, if I can conquer temptation, so can you. But in another sense, this is not simply a story about keeping score. The point of the story wasn't that Jesus survived temptation. It isn't that he overcame what George Orwell said is the basic problem of human nature, that we want to be good, but not too good, and not quite all the time. And it's not that he learned what my grandmother used to say, that no one is ever old enough to know better. The moral of the story isn't what a woman once wrote to Reader's Digest about being out shopping with her husband when she noticed his eye following a pretty young woman walking by. Without looking up from the item she was examining, his wife said to him, "Was it worth the trouble you're in?" It is like what Scott Fahlman said, if you can't take the heat, don't tickle the dragon. There is a good reason that we avoid temptation. It is because of the consequences that come upon us. But there is more to the gospel than even this. The point of the story isn't that we should be wary of temptation, or that we should avoid temptation, or survive temptation. It's what we become as a result of temptation. Martin Rinkhart was a Lutheran pastor who lived during the height of the 30 Years' War in Europe. He was the pastor of a church in Saxony. He was the only pastor at the only church in that town. In a single year, in 1637, he presided at over 4,500 funerals. He lived through the most prolonged, awful experiences of war, of pestilence and disease imaginable. He and everyone around him had every reason to despair. But in the middle of all of this, he wrote a hymn that we still sing today. Now thank we all our God, with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices. Pastor Rinkhart was not blind to the suffering all around him, but he recognized that to give in to the temptation of despair would bring him nothing. What was needed was hope. This is what temptation does. It doesn't make us worse people. It doesn't automatically make us better people either. It's what we do with it that matters. It is like the saying goes that if you have integrity, nothing else matters. And if you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. Temptation is the test of our integrity. A modern Catholic writer said it best when she said, I can believe in God or not believe in God, but there is a price for either choice.
Enter the journey, the way may be long. Enter the journey, yet we are made strong. God's Spirit will guide us, God's gifts we unfold. Enter the journey of hope.
Strengthen your people, we pray, Almighty God. Help us on our Lenten journey that we might deepen our faith, our love for you, our service of our neighbor. Renewed with this heavenly bread by which faith is nourished and hope increased, we pray, O Lord, that we may learn to hunger for Christ, the true and living bread, and to strive to live by every word that proceeds from his mouth. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace to glorify the Lord with our lives. Thanks be to God.